continue the message that we started a couple of weeks ago. We said speaking in the supernatural. Speaking in the supernatural. This is a topic that if we had to stay with it, probably 3 months would not even be enough. But we're not going to spend 3 months to stay in that one topic. But today I thought that I would still want to press on with this message, and we're going to trust God for him to bless us in a mighty, mighty way. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm trying to pick my technology up. Just put up your hand this way. Father, I pray that let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. And I pray for your people, even as their hands are open right now, Father, their hands will be open to receive your word. Father, their hands will be open to acknowledge you, O God, as sovereign. And Father God, their hands are open to receive your spirit. I declare this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We started by saying that God is sovereign and God is supernatural. And if God is supernatural, then you and me need to learn how to communicate with this supernatural God. Amen. We need to learn to communicate with this supernatural God. We need to activate the third dimension of our being, because God has created a spirit, body, and soul. Yet most of us operate mainly in the soul and the body arena, called the flesh. You see, but then we forget the spiritual aspect of it. If we do not use the spirit side of who God has intended us to be, we quench the spirit of our being. But the Bible says that do not quench the spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Do not quench the spirit. It's a very specific word. Do not quench the spirit. So many Christians are weak and dying today. Slowly. Because they have and are quenching the spiritual side of their life. They can't pray. They don't feel like coming to church. They are easily distracted by other things. They can't read their Bibles or to receive revelation. They don't obey scripture. And as a result, they don't obey God. They become judgmental, criticizing everything and blames everybody else but themselves. If you find yourself in this situation today, you are quenching the spirit. The spirit of God is dying in you. Or in some case, it's died in you. Or in other case, it's not even there in the first place. There's hope for you if the spirit of God is not in you. Because the Bible says, if anyone has not the spirit of God, he or she is none of his. And today, if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and say, God, I acknowledge you, Jesus Christ, that you died on the cross to pay the price for my sins so that I will be free. My sins were laid on you, and today I ask you to be my Lord and Savior, my forgiver, my leader, and ask him into your heart to forgive you your sins, your trespasses, your wrongdoings, your indebtedness. Then the Bible says that he will forgive you and cleanse you from all sins, and will come and live in you with his Holy Spirit. So today, if you are sitting here and you are hearing and listening to me today, I just want to encourage you that if the Spirit of God is not in you, then you are destined for destruction. Your destiny has been disrupted, but it's never too late for you to say, Jesus, listen to me, a sinner, and accept me. Just like the thief on the cross, hanging around Jesus Christ and said, Lord, remember me a sinner in your kingdom. And Jesus Christ will do that. Now, for those of you who know that you are in this category that you don't feel, you don't like, you don't want to, you don't even see yourself doing anything in that direction, I would just say this. You are quenching the Holy Spirit. But the Bible said, do not quench the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, he came down as tongues of fire and separated and settled on each of the disciples and followers of Jesus. And they spoke with new tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Now, God therefore made his servants and ministers flames of fire so they will work the works of God. Hebrews 1, 7. You see, God pouring out his Holy Spirit upon his people is to make them flames of fire, to put fire in your belly. That you are walking, the enemy will see that there's tongues of fire over you. You might not see it, but people will see you and they see there's something about you that will not mess about with you. Because God has poured his Spirit upon you, and you have accepted it, and you are running with it, and you are speaking in a supernatural language, new tongue. You are speaking to God. I said last week that if someone said, look, why are you speaking in tongues that nobody understands? Just don't worry about it. Tell them, look, I'm not talking to you. I'm speaking to God. Because that's what the Bible says, right? Hallelujah. Say, he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men, but speaks to God. And before God, he uttered mysteries unto him. Hallelujah. So we want to speak to God, a supernatural God in a supernatural way. That is what we need to do. You see, so God made us that way. And therefore, God therefore made us flames of fire. We walk with that flame. So when the writer of Hebrew was talking about Jesus and the purpose for which he came, he said in verse 1, verse 7, he said, look, he made his angels spirits, right? You don't see angels. They're all around us. He made them spirit, but for his servant, his people, he made them flames of fire. He makes them flames of fire. So we should walk with as people with flames of fire upon our heads. And it is not just physical fire. It's a supernatural fire. It's the tongues of fire that settled on the people on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. 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 Now, let's hear what Jesus said then, which we refer to it. Or you open the pages of your Bible, it says the Great Commission. Let's see. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, I'm reading from the New International Version. It said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything, all things I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end, the close of the age. These were the words of Jesus Christ, right? You agreed with me? Exactly. These were his words. And we say the greatest commission. That means the most important thing that Jesus Christ did, or the thing that we have to actually take note of most of all as Christians, that we have to do because Jesus Christ has commanded us. He has sent us. As the Father has sent him, so send I you. As the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. So he has sent you, we have sent people, and this is the commission that he's given us. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, after having taught them all things. For he himself is going to be with us. Most Christians obey this commission in part because they have been taught in part. We do as much as we can to be baptized in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son. But stop when it comes to being baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit. We've been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son on the Holy Spirit. We don't want that. But he said, go and baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about baptism in three dimensions. I will expand on this as we go on. I mean, this is just another revelation coming to me in recent days and years and weeks. He says this. Jesus is saying we should go in the authority he has given us. Authority is delegated power. And in our case, divine power to bring order into the chaos wherever we see it. To bring order in the chaos wherever we see it. Remember, when we started this message, we said, look, the earth was formless. It was void. It was dark. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the voidness. And when he moved, and what happened? And he spoke. And then order gave way to, disorder gave way to order, right? Isn't that right? So he just moved. So we need, as Christians, the same authority, the same power that God created the universe. The Bible said the same power he has given to us. So Jesus said, the same power, which delegated authority, I am delegating to you too, because I'm going to the Father. And I want you to bring order into the situation. And that order, or that disorder which is existing, that you baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and stop there. Now I want you to go and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Order is a call for disorder to stop. For disorder to come to a halt, so that all things will go back to the beginning. The disorder will not be remembered anymore, and order takes its place. Now, when we had a 30th wedding anniversary recently, we just went to a church somewhere, and I heard Rennie McLean was speaking, and he's a Londoner, so he understands order. And when he was speaking, I'm thinking, I understand this. When you watch Parliament, have you anyone watch Parliament going on? And parliamentarians, sometimes they are like kids, right? And they make so much noise, so much commotion. And the Speaker of the Parliament said, order, order, order. Then everybody stops. Then he goes back to where it was that the chaos came in. Do you understand that? So that is authority. One man speaks, and all the chaos stops. So if they are interrupting the prime minister, they stop. If they are interrupting the opposition leader, they stop. If they are interrupting someone who is speaking, they stop. And then they said, let the honorable person speak again. They restore things. So order is to restore things. So authority has been given to you to restore that which has been chaotic, which has been disorderly, which has been forgotten, which has been, people say, oh, it's confusing. Just speak into the confusion and bring order into the situation. Hallelujah. We are bringing order in the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when order is in place, that disorder is never remembered. When God spoke, the darkness was not remembered. The disorder was not remembered. The voidness was not remembered. And he spoke on the back of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So God does not live in chaos, void or darkness, but lives in order. The word order is used to reset things to where they ought to be. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Because if you look at it, you can see that any time that something is not working, be it your phone or maybe your watch or something, what do? You press the reset button. Isn't that right? Or your television messed up, you press the reset button. Why? Because you want to bring it back to where it was. So today, my duty is to reset your perception about God, the Holy Spirit, and tongues, and baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that you bring things to the level that God wants us to have it, the intended, original intent of God's mind concerning these things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. God does not live in chaos. We are therefore commissioned to reset things to where they ought to be. Ought means absolutely necessary. It's an English word. So that we will bring restoration in our homes, in our families, in our church, in our communities. Now, I want you to, come with me to listen to this great commission again. We are reading it from Mark chapter 16, verse 1 to 18. If you can project it for me, that would be extremely helpful so they know that I'm quoting from the Bible. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said, he, meaning Jesus Christ, said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. they will pick up snakes, or I like the word serpent, snakes. I mean, nobody goes about picking up snakes, right? That is not a good interpretation of the original intent. They will pick up serpents, and they will not harm them. And when they drink poison, a deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well, right? Before we come to that point. Now, I'd like to read from another version to help us, similar to this, but I like this translation. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will accompany them and follow them. Those who believe in my name, they will cast out demons, as with force to drive them out. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, pick up snakes with their hands as if they have that authority to hold them prisoners. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them at all. They will place hands on the sick or ill, and they will recover and get well." Now, this Great Commission has a few things that I want to pick on quickly, and I'll go to some of my main theme for today's message. They're speaking in the supernatural. The Great Commission, the disciples are to take to all creation without a doubt. And this is it, to preach the gospel that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Jesus Christ is interested in sinners and to save them from all unrighteousness and to leverage their destiny into the heavenly kingdom of God, so that one day, even if death comes to them, they will rise again and be before God. The gospel is that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood so that he will save us, so that he gave his life for your life, so that we will live. This is the gospel they should preach to people and baptize them to be saved. Signs will follow those who believe. In Jesus' name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, take hold of them, as one hold a captive, take hold of Satan. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So these were the things that Jesus Christ said. That's Mark's interpretation of the gospel. So if you don't believe this, who are you going to believe? Who, Jesus, are you serving? Jesus said, "In my name, they will speak with new tongues." Jesus said it. I didn't. So did he mean it? Was that a commission? It's a command. It's a command that we should. So if Jesus said that, you and me need to take it serious if we want to follow the same Jesus. You see, taking Jesus serious and following him by his word is discipleship. See, disciples, sometimes we are brainwashed by some doctrines that, oh, disciples are those 12 disciples. Soon you will see that there were many, many, many other disciples. That means people who followed Jesus Christ according to his word and trusted him. And if you are one of them here today, you are a disciple. I am a disciple, no doubt I know. Baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is therefore not an option, but a command for every believer. Are you hearing me? You see, if we all believe that, go ye therefore and preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. So why are we not baptizing them in the name of the Holy Spirit? Did you note that didn't say the name of the Holy Spirit? It said, "and the Holy Spirit." I'm challenging you to have a look. "And the Holy Spirit." So why are we stopping there? So it is a command. It's not an option that we take out. It's not like you're going to buy something and you have to opt not to have insurance. That is not about it. It's a package. It's a package that we have to take. It's not an option. So, and it goes on. That is Mark. Now you can bring up the verse 19 and verse 20. So Apostle Mark concluded that great commission that Jesus said. And this is how they ended. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into the heavens, and he sat at the right hand of God, a place of divine favor, a place of absolute authority, so that he can pour out his Spirit upon us, so that he can pour out the Spirit of God upon you and me, so that he can release the Holy Spirit to come upon us, so that we can speak in the supernatural, so that we can communicate with the supernatural God at the level that the enemy cannot penetrate our message, because he cannot decode those tongues, because they are unknown tongues. Are you with me? They are unknown to human understanding. They are known to the Spirit, but they are known to God. Hallelujah. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied them. You see, so because Jesus Christ is seated high in the throne room of God, he was able to see through and pour out his Spirit upon his people. He was able to see through to see that you and me will actually operate in the power of the supernatural God and use the Holy Spirit to accompany us. Because Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. And they obeyed and went and do what Jesus Christ did. And what? He said, and he confirmed his word. He confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied them. And this is how it was recorded by the Apostle Luke in the book of Acts. The same greatest commission or great commission or last words of Jesus, this is how it was recorded. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 and 9. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So from there on, they cannot see Jesus Christ in the natural. They cannot see Jesus Christ in the flesh. They cannot see Jesus Christ until he comes again, but they have to see Jesus Christ in the supernatural. Hallelujah. They have to begin to be supernatural people, to activate the third dimension of their human being, of their being, soul, body, spirit. Body we see, soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, and spirit we don't see. We have to, activate these things. We shouldn't let them die. We shouldn't let it die. These were Jesus' last words. But then will you believe that John the Baptist actually also saw this few years, before then. And when you read Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, he said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful and mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry or untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Sometimes people argue, oh, Jesus Christ did not speak in tongues. Forget about it. He said, go and they shall speak with new tongues. They said, John the Baptist did not speak in tongues. He said, but then he will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. Are you with me? They saw something that they know it is for another dispensation. They saw something that they know that it is only for the time that when Jesus Christ is resurrected, that he will pour down his anointing, his spirit, his glory upon his people so that they will operate in that supernatural level. Do you understand that? You see, he saw something that the people could not do it while he was alive. They had to do it when he's gone, because then they had to move to another level. Nobody prayed like Jesus Christ prayed. Nobody had all night like Jesus Christ had all night. Nobody exercised power like he did. But we have to do the greater works. And for us, we have to show us the secret. And the secret is that he had to pour down his spirit upon his people. The outpouring of the end times. Prophet Joel, a little over 400 years prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, he saw this in chapter 2, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 30. And said, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall dream dreams and see visions. Your handmaid will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men shall speak, will see visions. And prophesy, as it were. That long they saw that. And they spoke into it. And when Peter came and was speaking in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit has been poured, he said, what has been poured upon us is what the prophet Joel saw. over 400 years ago that he prophesied that in the last day, in the end times, believers, we have to be poured out in the Holy Spirit. We have to pour out the Holy Spirit from our belly. When Jesus Christ, John chapter 4, was at the well, he saw this woman and said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And she said, I want it, I want it, I want it, so I don't come back and do these physical things again. So do you want it so that you don't operate in the physical anymore? Do you want it so that you don't operate in the flesh anymore? Only a few people, those who want it, will have it. Hallelujah. Because Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Hallelujah. See, I told you, this series, I'm just challenging your theology. But I'm bringing revelation to you, and I accept it, because if you accept me as a pastor, you accept my word. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, let's pick another reading. See, now let's look at the word of God more accurately. Right? Let's see what God intends. In Acts chapter 18, verse 24 to 28. Acts chapter 18, verse 24 to 28. It says, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of scriptures. Thorough knowledge of scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Move on. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. Next verse. For he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Hallelujah. Apollos was eloquent, we've just read, and mighty in scriptures. He spoke and taught the things of the Lord accurately, with great passion and fervor, but knew only the baptism of John. What are we talking about here? You see, he knew only about being baptized in the name of the Father. Because that's what John was doing. He was saying that we get baptized, we get immersed, as it were, so that we will actually come and repent before God. Repentance means turn from your wicked ways and face God. So you are being baptized in the name of the Father so that you can face God, so that you can make your peace with God. In the name of the Father, we are making our peace to God. So they only knew about John's baptism. Don't get any confused about it. I'm also studied a little bit about the scripture, so I understand what I'm doing. So they were baptized. They only knew about the baptism of John. They don't know about baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ. They didn't know about baptizing in the name of the Holy Spirit. But let's press on. So Aquila and Priscilla, that's a couple, right? The man is Aquila and the woman is Priscilla, who were Apostle Paul's ministry compatriot and business partners, heard Apollos and thought he will benefit from a more accurate explanation of the way of God or the ways of God. He knew the word of God. He knew about salvation. He knew about the scriptures. He could literally challenge the Jews and the teachers and the scribes and prove that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And he will preach salvation. But he had missed something somewhere. And just like most Christians, we are happy to get people saved and they come and give their life to Jesus Christ, but they stop there. They don't grow. There's no spiritual energy in them. They're just there. They go to church. They go and go back. And today, if they speak, okay, today tennis is on. Maybe, fragment say, cricket is on. Cricket isn't, right? Cricket is on. Okay, cricket is on, no church, right? Football is on, no church. Boxing is on, no church. Say again? Cycling? Yeah, you like, Tour de France. I wanted to say Formula One. You see, so anything that would distract them. Oh, I've got a little headache. Oh, my finger is hurting. Oh, today I step on the wrong shoe. I wore the wrong shoe, so I'm not going to church. There's no spiritual energy in them. That's why they find little things as an excuse not to connect with God or to connect God's people. The Spirit of God is not being energized. He's been quenched in their spirit. You understand that? If this affects you, that is exactly where you are. I'm telling you, in case you don't know, your eyes need to be opened, that this is exactly where you are. You see, there is no spiritual energy. So the word of God needs to be taught to you more accurately. So President Aquila said, come, let us teach you properly. So Apollos' ministry needed to be energized, or as recharging a battery. Some of us, we have cell phones or mobile phones, don't we? And somehow it runs out of charge, doesn't it? And then what do? We charge it. We recharge it. We put it back onto the power source. And what I'm trying to tell you is that somehow along the line, when you are out of charge in your spirit, when you cannot pray, when you cannot read the Bible, when you cannot overcome temptation, then something needs to be recharged in you. You need to be reconnected to the source. You need to be reconnected to God so that He will recharge you in the supernatural, so that He will recharge you in the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Because at that time that you can't pray, how can you pray? The only way that you can pray more is to start praying in the supernatural. Because when, as you pray in the supernatural, before long, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, somebody takes over, and that the Spirit of God takes over, and soon you see that there's some energy coming into you, some power coming into you. You just want to press on. You just don't want to stop. You just want to press on. And soon, God just removes all those barriers. Let me press on. You can see that I'm getting somewhere. So, Apollos' ministry needs to be recharged and need to be activated for God. So they explained to him the way of God more accurately. Apollos needed to be more accurate and know more and experience the anointing power of God that was in the very Christ that he preached about. He was preaching Jesus, but there was no anointing in it. He was a smart guy. He was educated, but there was no anointing. How many times do you see preachers preach and they preach so good? And I know how many times I preach here so good, but there's no anointing in it. And you go home and you think, what's Pastor Gideon about today? You drink a cup of tea and all the anointing is gone. Thank God there's no cup of tea today. So we press on. So, what are we saying? The more accurate way of God is to receive the Holy Spirit, be baptized of fire and speaking in tongues. It is called the Holy Spirit baptism. You understand that? So we see here that as a result of a more accurate or a more adequate teaching that Apollos received from Priscilla and Aquila, as we read in verse 28, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from Scripture that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. So suddenly this man is what? He is vigorously. Yes? Are you seeing that word? Underline it. He vigorously, this time with energy. Vigor means energy. Is that proper English? Exactly. He vigorously, with vigor, with energy, with vim, with determination, and with passion. This time, he was preaching the same message, but with another passion. And that passion was the Holy Spirit. You see, it was not recorded that they baptized him in the Holy Spirit, but we will see soon. Because they took him into his home. They took him into their home, and nobody was there to record exactly what happened. And Priscilla and Aquila don't say it precisely, but then the evidence is that he came back this time vigorously, refuting the Jewish argument. My final point in the preach today is this. Let's read Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 7. And then we'll pray after that. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Listen to me. They were disciples, right? So, go back. We did not receive the Holy Spirit. No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Right? Verse 3. So, Paul asked them, then what baptism did you receive? Listen to his words carefully. What baptism did you receive? He said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And then Paul quickly moved it and said, what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, just like Cornelius. No. He told the people to believe in the name of Jesus and the coming, he believed in the one coming after him. That is in Jesus Christ. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So they knew that baptism in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son. Now move on. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And they were about 12 men in all. This is not the 12 disciples that Jesus was having. Men and women like you in Corinth. So this time, at this point, they now have come to know to be baptized in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and now they've been baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit. And they spoke in tongues. And I've told you and I've warned you that people who don't want you to know God intimately and move in power says, oh, tongues is confusing. Don't listen to them. You are talking to God, right? You are offering mysteries to God. You are speaking in a language that the enemy cannot decode, and therefore your prayers cannot be blocked. You are learning to say thank you to God in a better way because God is supernatural. So you are operating at the level that God knows best. And don't get me wrong, when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14, Paul will say, look, and I will also pray with my spirit, and I also pray with my understanding. So I'm not saying stop praying with understanding. I am saying that there is something we call baptism of the Holy Spirit, attested by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And people spoke in tongues as the Spirit enables them. And it's not an option for us as believers. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to all nations. Be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let me rush up before they show me the placard at the back. Effectively, these 12 disciples were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Apollos knew only about John's baptism, and similarly, these 12 disciples only knew about the baptism of John. The Apostle Paul, Aquila, Priscilla, and Jesus Christ knows the way to be more effective in faith and ministry is to be baptized by the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Jesus said, in my name, they shall speak with in new tongues. Did Jesus say that? Did we read that? In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. The prophet Isaiah, about 750 years back, prior to Jesus' birth, had written about this encounter of the Holy Spirit as that which will give rest to us and activate or refreshed and set in motion, set in order our spirit. And he wrote in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12. I've looked at about 6 or 7 translations, 2 translations that I believe that they are proper on point. The rest, they struggle with understanding it. And they wrote what they had to write, But when you look at the authorized version or New King James Version, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12, it reads this: with stammering lips and another tongue, a new tongue, he will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. 750 years back, Isaiah said, with stammering lips, right? Bora boseketeli babo shakataya. With stammering lips and a new tongue, I will speak to my people. When the Spirit came upon you, sometimes your lips quivers, right? Sometimes your body gets so hot because there's fire in you. Tongues are fire. Sometimes your body moves because as if your leg is giving way. Sometimes because the power is so big, sometimes it burns sin. It burns works of the evil one in you. And sometimes there's a shriek comes out. Sometimes people just can't stand on their feet. Sometimes people will weep and cry. And I just want you to understand these are manifestations. They themselves are not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit coming upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With stammering lips and a new tongue, he will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. So sometimes you feel so restless. And I mean, I just, yesterday, I mean, there was no one in the house. I had a house to myself. I said, oh God, this is so great. I had a whole house to myself. Wow. It doesn't mean I don't love my family, but I was so happy that it was just me in the house. It's like a child. Yay. I was so happy. For about a couple of hours, I was so happy in the house. I was just praying. Something said, phone a friend. And I phoned this friend. He's about 7,000 miles away from me. He's a pastor too. He's a very great professional too. And when I phoned him, he says, I don't know. He couldn't even describe how he was feeling. But he said, well, I want you to pray for me. I said, stay on the phone. And for half an hour and more, we were just praying in the supernatural. I said, I don't know what is going on. I don't understand because you don't even understand to tell me what it is. But God understands. And if God understands, then let's speak in the language that God understands. So we started praying in the spirit. We started praying the supernatural. We prayed for half an hour. And by the time we got to the 15 minutes mark, I mean, I thought something happened to this guy. He was crying like a baby and praying like a baby, and he didn't even know what to do. And we pressed on, and he would come back and pray, and he would just break down, and it was going on and on and on. For about 35 minutes, I just felt a breakthrough, and I stopped, and I said, amen. And he said, amen. He said, wow, I don't know, but something has broken in my spirit and in the supernatural. Because some things you don't know what is going on. You are distressed in your spirit. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what is happening. But God understands what is happening. So somehow the way to do this is to speak in the supernatural, the language of God. And when you get there, when you get it, because the Spirit of God empowers you, it does something. An hour afterwards, I send a text and I say, how are you doing? He said, I'm still in my, the library or somewhere that he used, meaning his office. And he says, after you prayed for me powerfully, I cannot move. I said, start moving in Jesus' name. Exactly. And I just want you to understand it's not about me, but it's about God. So you see that I couldn't do anything, right? That's that distance. God did something for this pastor and this professional. And God changed something in the supernatural. So to conclude this message, Peter, when he spoke, when the Spirit of God has come upon him, in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 39, said, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and baptize every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Amen. 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 Now I'm going to pray, and we are going to pray. You've sat down a little bit. You're happy to stand up right now? Yes, stretch your legs. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, I'm not going to do anything